This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, ladies. Today I'd like for us to think about how strong and powerful that words can be. When we communicate with others, we know this is true. Some words can be just very caustic and others can be very encouraging. And we often try to teach our children to be very careful about using words and doing it in such an attitude that it might not be very appealing to others, even hurtful. Perhaps the tone of voice they use is behind those words. And I think most of us recognize those words immediately. But some words, even phrases, carry so much impact upon hearers that we will take those words to the grave with us. Those messages are profound and unforgettable and have such an intense effect upon us that they leave us with this indelible impression upon our hearts and minds. Have you ever had anyone say to you, "I hate you"? That's one of those phrases that comes to mind, and it just is very startling and such a strong emotion and so negative, it's really hard to forget when one says that to you. It's sort of like some of those people that just say, "I never apologize." Well, that just sounds pretty haughty, doesn't it? There are other phrases that I have trouble with understanding and trying to figure out why people even use them. And you know, I'm sure I've been guilty of doing that at some point in my life and some time, hopefully not recently, hopefully not even since I've become a Christian, but I'm sure I must have done or said some things that offended others. But Jesus had a way with words. Now, we know our words can build us up to unbelievable heights of joy or take us to the deepest and darkest abyss. I mean, we look on Facebook and see people click a heart that makes us happy. But when a loved one says, "I love you," it truly warms our hearts, doesn't it? It's a personal touch from one heart to another. So I'd like to share with you some thought-provoking remarks that came from our Lord and Savior. And no one can or ever will speak the least amount of words and evoke the most all-consuming attention as our Lord. Jesus always provokes us to think, to consider, before we speak or act. His words are filled with power and strength. So let's look at some occasions of our Lord's dialogues with others. One of the first things that came to my mind was how when Christ was challenged by others, he always listened very carefully, and he could see the traps, if you will, that many tried to catch him up in. His thoughts and actions always displayed a kind and logical answer for the one asking, and occasionally more severe, but he was making a point. And sometimes he spoke in a parable, painting a picture for all to see and understand. Other times he waited a few moments and then answered with a question. The woman taken in adultery is a good example of that, and we find that account in John 8, verses 1 through 7. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up, and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Well, we know what happened then. They all walked away, from the oldest to the least. And Jesus told her to go and sin no more. When we speak with others, we should not do so with the intent to set them up for our own purpose. We should be honest and straightforward with our speech, simple and to the point, and work toward the salvation of the soul for the one who may be in error, as well as our own soul. For our soul also hinges upon our attitude and the words we use, as well as the one who had been accused. Another time, it was the Passover feast, the Last Supper that Jesus would have with his disciples. Matthew 26:21 through 24 reads as follows, "And as they did eat, he," that is Jesus, said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." In the following verse, Matthew 26:25, we read the words spoken by Judas Iscariot as well as our Lord's reply. Matthew 26:25. Then Jesus, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." That's a pretty astounding question. If you just think about the whole concept there, Jesus knows the hearts of all of them, everyone. But in three simple words, Jesus allowed Judas to condemn himself. He said, "Thou hast said." Can you even imagine being there? We often speak of awkward situations. Well, I don't know, but maybe the other disciples didn't know or hear or understand the ramifications of that dialogue. But by the kind and loving graces of good, we have his holy word to examine and have been enlightened, giving us many of the actions that took place behind the scenes. I so badly want to be more like Jesus in my attitude and behavior toward others, and as I watch him take his 3-year walk upon this earth with grace and dignity, knowing the end result, I know that's how I want to model my behavior. Just to be patient, just to be to the point, and to be honest. Another occasion comes to mind when Jesus was taken before Pilate. Luke 23:1-3 says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it." He didn't argue. He knew his mission was from God, and he was willing and ready to give up his life to save the lives of every human being that ever lived. And he did so with dignity and a love for mankind and obedience to God and graciously always thinking of others, right down to his own earthly mother, making provision for her. John 19:26-27. We see some of Jesus' final words from the cross. In John 19:26-30, we read, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." Just a few words, but very powerful words. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Such a simple thing, "I thirst." That just almost breaks my heart to think about him hanging upon that cross, going through all of this for me and for you and for the whole world. And he's thirsty. Such a human, common thing to all of us. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. Those were his last words. "It is finished." God's beautiful plan for the saving of all mankind was summed up in 3 powerful and explosive words. Nothing will ever seem so powerful to me. The gates of heaven and hell hinge upon this event and the resurrection of Christ from the grave by the power of God. Such simple words, and yet how powerful and meaningful they are to all of us. I'll leave you, ladies, with these 2 passages to ponder. Acts 2:32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." And Acts 2:23-24, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I thank you for listening, ladies.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bibleway Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.